we'd all be having to look for other jobs. You know, it was described as a career-defining experience, but not in a good way. It's like you screw this up, and your ass is going to be looking for another job. And everybody shared that concern from from the top levels of our agency down to the bus operators who were providing free service that weekend. You know, you screw up your bus, free bus deployment, and your butt's going to be. So everywhere there was a lot of heartburn, a lot of antacids and aspirins being consumed. But it worked out well. The public loved it. It kind of generated a thought for what it, marveling at what it could be like in Los Angeles to do more of these sorts of events. And I think of it as the antithesis of the Volkswagen slogan, Farving Dugan, fun while driving, where Carmageddon means fun without driving. And the community activities that you can do, and the family events you can do, and the bicycling events that you can do. And leaving this two-ton vehicle in the driveway and not depending on it. So just to summarize some of the main points of this presentation, what made this public outreach campaign work, I'm sure Yvette would agree, was little old Metro couldn't have done this by itself. We just harnessed other agencies and their ability to get the word out. We utilized social media to its full potential for this enclosure. We didn't try to hide anything. We didn't try to keep the media at bay. We welcomed them in. We gave them a front seat, a front row seat, and we gave them popcorn. We involved all of the community groups. We encouraged them to do their own events. Santa Monica is a good example. They did their own events. We made a call, an effective call for civic responsibility. You know, do your civic duty and stay off the roads if at all possible. Make it better for those that have to drive, like for work and commerce. And we didn't go into the operations aspects of this, but it was the best exercise for a major disaster in LA that we could have possibly had. You know, we paid for that exercise, Metro. But law enforcement, fire, they were all giddy at the opportunity to go through this exercise and do all the protocols and set up the command center and do all of the actions that will be necessary when the big one hits. So I think, what do you think? Do we have enough time or skip the presentation?
I think we probably just need to include it in our material.
Great. Well, that concludes our presentation. Thank you.
Is there any questions before we move on to break?
I have a quick question. You talked about scheduling and that the weekend before was not, was this weather dependent? So was it a potential for postponing the work?
Well, I think we discussed that, and the opinion was work has been rescheduled due to weather, particularly rain, and particularly when you're doing restriping work that requires dry conditions. But there was a point where we could not advise the contractor to reschedule the work because it was a point of no return. Whether there was a snowstorm in Los Angeles that weekend, they would still have to do the demolition work. And they were prepared for that as well.
I think our message to them was, short of saying, come hell or high weather, we're doing this, really the message was anything below 9.0, the work is a go. And you know, fortunately, the contractor was game for that. And there was an earthquake, and the weather cooperated.
You mentioned this was part of a $1 million roadway project. Do you have a budget similar or to Christina was talking about how they use 1%? Do you have a figure or do you know what your overall budget is for the $1 million project?
We don't have a calculation in the same way that Christina does, so it's not like 1%. We do have a budget that's allocated for the work that we do during the year for outreach and construction mitigation. The expenditure for this, $110,000, for example, that was related to the outreach on this specifically, was above and beyond our budget. So, and that came out of $1 billion.
So the overall $1 billion budget, do you have a set amount for the project total
Yeah. She's referring to the 405 project itself overall. You know, what is your percentage? You know, you have a program.
So no, we don't have a percentage.
But you have a
you'd have an amount. So what?
We have a set dollar amount. I think the budget for the construction relations group on this project is about probably about $800,000 for the life of the project.
That includes your salaries, or
that's not included.
No, this is just public outreach and construction mitigation.
Right. So can you explain, as far as staffing, you know, how many people you have on staff for the 405, just for the 405?
So on the 405 project, organizationally, we're structured different than OCTA. So Dave is part of our media relations team, which reports through communications. And you're one person, right, assigned to the project. That's on the media relations side. On the construction relations side, which is my group, we've got five people assigned. So it's a 10-mile project. We've got three construction relations officers, each responsible for a segment of the project, so about 3 miles each. Then I have a manager who oversees that team. Separate from the manager, I have a social media person who handles all of our social media collateral material, copy, and actually six. And then we've got Marcy, who's our community relations coordinator, who kind of supports us and keeps us all together.
So six full-time people?
Six full-time people on the project, and then a portion of my time is charged to the project.
And well, then additional support from the media relations team.
Right. And then we've got we've got other support departments at the agency. So we've got our creative services, who actually develops the collateral material. So we've got very segmented departments at Metro, but working directly on the project full time in this capacity, we've got six people.
You mentioned you got four press conferences leading up to, in the weeks leading up to it. Were the messages varied at those press conferences, or, you know, were you afraid that you're going to get everybody at the first one, but come the third one, no one shows up?
Well, each press conference was intended to fulfill a different purpose. The announcement press conference on June 6th was really the debut of the information to the public. That was to show that we were working collaboratively with other organizations, so that we weren't missing something. Because as a reporter, the first question I would ask is, what about LAX? What about the trucking industry? Are you guys talking with them? We had them at the press conference. We have representation. What about my personal safety? Am I going to get stuck on the freeway if I run out of gas and I'm sitting in traffic? So that particular news conference was intended to show all of the collaboration. Our second news conference was at Caltrans, where the purpose of that conference was to show the monitoring capabilities that Caltrans had in monitoring freeway conditions and being able to mitigate those sorts of choke points that would develop in real time. We had the day that the closure was supposed to begin, we had another news conference saying, we're prepared, here's what we're going to be doing over the weekend. And the fourth one was the conclusion of work 17 hours early, opening up the freeway, seeing the workers come by, saying thank you very much, Los Angeles, we did it.
Thank you so much. Now we're going to have a 5-minute break before we start the presentation from the city of Tustin. The men's room is underneath this exit sign, and the women's is over on this side. Feel free to grab a beverage or something to eat, and we'll reconvene in about 5 minutes.
Good job. I recorded your presentation and tweeted it, so it's under the hashtag of SoCalCom. SoCal for Southern California and the Com for Communications. Oh, set that hashtag.
Excellent.
So good job.
Well, thank you.